Hello, listeners. Welcome to season 7 of the Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm the managing partner here at Big Rio and Demo Consulting. And I'll be your host today for the Big Unlock podcast, along with Rohit, who's my co-host. And today we are really excited to welcome Greg O'Neill to our podcast. Greg is the Director, Patient and Family Health Education at Christiana Care, one of the nation's most innovative health systems out of Wilmington. And as Director of Patient and Family Health Education, he leads the strategic plan for patient education and health literacy initiatives. So we're really excited to have this conversation and ask him more about his role and learn more from him. So I'll request Rohit for a brief introduction, and then it's all yours, Greg.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I'm Rohit Mahajan. I'm the CEO and managing partner at Big Rio and Demo Consulting. And very excited to have this conversation for the listeners with you, Greg. So over to you.
Yeah, so thank you for that introduction. Just to further clarify, I'm an advanced practice nurse. So everything I do comes from that nursing lens. And nurses really try to connect with patients' needs, as do other healthcare providers. So I'm really excited to be with you guys. Thanks for having me today. And let's get into it.
So why don't we start by you telling us a little bit more about Christiana Care and also the, you know, where your digital health program stands today, where what are the enterprise priorities, and how does patient education and health literacy fit into that broader strategy?
Yeah, sure. So for Christiana Care, I'm very lucky to work at Christiana Care. We're a very busy health system, one of the busiest in our region. We're the largest healthcare system in Delaware, but we provide care in 4 states. There are a lot of people depending on us, you know, to provide safe, effective care. And we like to say that we serve with our patients and our families and our communities in their care. So one of the ways that we can do that is become more effective at communication, more effective and efficient at care delivery. And I think patient education and health literacy are tools in our toolbox in order to, you know, really meet people where they are and make sure that they're getting the care that they need and that they can care for themselves in the way that they need to. So that's what we're striving to do here. You asked about the priorities of our system. I would say we do like to be innovative. We like to be, you know, forward thinking. And that's one of the reasons why health literacy is so important to our organization. We recognize that, but so is technology. While I don't oversee all of the technology platforms in our organization, I can tell you there is a very serious interest in making things easier for patients and families. And the flip side of that is also making things easier and more effective for our caregivers. Everybody wants healthcare to be easier. I think that's a non-controversial statement. For those providing care, they want everything to be seamless and connected. And for those receiving care, they want to be able to understand what's in front of them, what they're facing, what their choices are, and what they need to do to have a better quality of life. So that's where we're trying to meet them.
Thank you for that answer, Greg. I think that's, you know, perfect lead in to my next question, which was that we're seeing a lot of focus around this digital access and the consumer experience because patient expectations are going higher along with ChatGPT and all, access to all these health tools where, you know, the patients feel much more prepared and empowered when they come into the for their care. So in terms of, you know, you're on the front lines. So what have you been seeing and how do you think that impacts, you know, care delivery and change like the mindset, if I may say so?
Yeah, well, our entire world is undergoing this relationship with AI and information. You know, the attention economy is very important. You know, where are people spending their time and attention? And I think one of the things we can't forget in all of this is that people spend time with information and sources that they trust. So while we can continue to evolve and make our care more efficient and effective using advanced systems like AI, we really need to make sure that the human connection piece is still there. No care can happen just with digital resources. You need care providers, you need a team, you need a system that is the backbone to support all of that. And that human connection is really where, from a communication standpoint, where it all starts and ends. From my perspective, if a person leaves a healthcare encounter confused, not knowing what's happening or what to do next, that is not going to help the trust that's being built between those two folks in that interaction. So the things that we use as tools like AI and patient education resources really need to be wrapped in that context of the human relationship to make sure that that's a trusted source. Otherwise, if folks don't really understand what's happening from their care provider, that's when they might seek other sources online or try to gather information from other places. We really want to make sure that they trust us first so that the tools we're using are the things they go to, you know, when they need that additional information and try to follow up on their care. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, absolutely. But I have a follow-on question to that. So what do you think patients and families are, you know, actually asking for when it comes to the digital health experience? And how has that shaped the way you approach this medication, communication, and education? What do you think?
There are two things I think about on that front. It's an excellent question. What do people want? I kind of hinted at this in the beginning. Everyone wants this to be easier. I think that is the main thing. So I think if it's easier and if it's meeting people where they are, so those are the two pillars I would look at. If a person is interacting with an information source and the information is too complicated, it's too much, the volume is too much information at one time, or if it's too complex, they're not going to be able to access that information. So how we communicate is actually an access to care issue as well. And they may disconnect. If they don't feel like they're getting the information in the way that they need it, they may disconnect and not regard that information. So that's a key piece for me. I also think that going back to the ease part of this, we have become so accustomed to everything being fairly easy from a consumer standpoint. You know, we all live in a society where at a touch of a button, you can have things delivered to your house or get that service that you need. And I think that's what people are looking for from healthcare, is to really evolve and meet that same lifestyle that people are living in the rest of their life. They want their healthcare experience to be in the same lane as that. So I think that's the goal, is to make it that easy, but at a level that people can really interact with.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. They want instant access, but then they want that trust factor, you know, what the information they're getting, they want to be able to trust that. So That's absolutely right. Rohit, would you like to ask a question?
So, Greg, I was thinking that the practice of medicine is so wide, right? And specialized as well. So you have all these different specialties. And how do you build trust across? Are you focused, like with your group, on one aspect or one, like you? I think you said family care? Or is it, how does the healthcare system overall build trust with the patients for all the subspecialties and specialties?
That is an amazing question, because it's extremely difficult, right? The care that we provide is so complex. The needs are so varied. There are so many different types of needs that we're trying to meet. At Christiana Care, we take care of people from all stages of life. We're with you the whole way. So we need to meet people in all these different places. I think it's a combination of the real trust and connection comes at the local level. Whatever your interaction with a certain specialty is, you know, that's where you're really going to be connecting to the care. But as a system strategy person, you know, I help my team oversees the strategic plans for our organization on how we conduct patient education. So we do need to have some broad reaching standards and practices that we promote to try and make sure that the base level for everyone is at a good operating level. So that's why we promote health literacy best practices. We need to make sure that the tools we're using are wrapped in care delivery practices from each of those local providers, so that local connection really sticks. And again, going back to the ease of use, if we're making strategic system level decisions that kind of set a relatively simple baseline for everyone, that just makes it easier for those local people to pick up that system tool and use it in that local interaction. So I think it's a combination of those two things is what really works when people find success in their healthcare.
That's great to know. And then, Ritu, I'll follow up with one more question for Greg. So, Greg, tell us more about how you started your nursing career. What do you do healthcare? And what are your plans, some of the plans for the future?
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks. I haven't been asked that a lot, so thanks. I started out as a student nurse extern. So this is a way that a lot of nurses begin their career. You find your way into a health system and you start getting to work right away. So going from those routes, I traveled up through a surgical ICU. I was a surgical ICU nurse for a number of years and then continued to advance up in the system because I really want to impact as many people as we can. So I really try to bring that systems thinking to my nursing practice. So that's why after I left the ICU, I continued on to get my master's and became an advanced practice nurse. Because from that position, you know, you have access to roles in the system where you can try to really influence with broad strokes how we provide care. And that's kind of where my personality met my profession. So nice. I tried to have some influence and improve care from that systems lens. Thanks for asking.
Oh, that's great. And what are some of the future plans? Future. What do you think the future holds?
Can any of us predict the future? I don't know.
A little bit.
I just want to keep providing value. Oh. That's my main goal. You know, if I can influence the conversation and the attention to patient education and health literacy, I will keep doing that. There are many competing priorities. As you guys hear in all of your episodes on your podcast, there are many different aspects to healthcare, many different competing priorities. So one of my roles here is to be an advocate, you know, for patients through communication, through health literacy, best practices. I hope to continue to keep doing that and just trying to elevate the conversation. Because to be fair, in the history of healthcare, I think it may be somewhat underappreciated how important communication is in helping Yes. people reach their health goals. And Yes. oftentimes, whenever there's opportunity, and that opportunity oftentimes is in the communication realm. And so we want to really help people. We need to make sure we're connecting with them.
Yeah. So I'm very curious about your approach and what are some of the success metrics, Greg? Because communication is so diverse, right? You could use so many channels for communication. At the end of the day, let's say every quarter or every year, how do you measure, like, what is the impact or what are some of your success criteria?
Yeah, that's also a really good question. I would say in the realm of patient education, those kinds of connections are still being developed. When it comes to the quality of care, we want to make sure that care is safe and effective and that we're delivering high quality care. We have a number mm-hmm. of metrics that health systems everywhere use to monitor those kinds of things, like readmission rates, like hearing from patients and families, how their experience of care went, you know, actually hearing back from them. So we try to align ourselves with the goals of the system. So in healthcare, we have those kinds of quality metrics that everyone is focused on improving. And we feel that by improving patient education and communication, we can add to those improvements. So it really does align with all your standard, trying to make sure that care is safe and effective, mm-hmm. making sure that we're hearing back from patients and families that it's working. Those kinds of things are what Indeed. We try to do. And so specifically for patient education, we're trying to connect our tools. You know, and this is the work that's still evolving that we need to do is connect mm-hmm. our tools in a more direct fashion to the outcomes that we're seeing. So yes. still working on that one.
So Greg, I think it's time to talk about the elephant in the room, which is AI. And, you know, we talked to a lot of people in the C-suite and, you know, with your experience being on the front lines of nursing and, you know, working directly with patients, what do you think, you know, some of these new technologies like ambient or scribing or voice agents, how are they going to affect nursing? And what do you think can be the most transformational, you know, technology? I know we read about it and hear about it all the time, but you've been there. Like, what do you think? Where are you seeing the best adoption? And where do you think it's really made a difference?
Yeah, again, I don't oversee all of those systems, like the ambient listening and stuff like that, but I pay attention to what's going on in those spaces. So I do appreciate the question. I think really, it's going to just break down silos. To me, the potential is huge. It's a little bit early to see exactly how it's all going to, you know, come to fruition. But I think one of the things that's really frustrating for patients and families is when they feel like care is disconnected. And we do the best that we can here trying to really make sure that those dots are connected for people. And I think that AI really has so much potential to try to take what has evolved as maybe disconnected systems and really bring them together to try to take the cognitive load off of the patient to make all of these connections and keep track of all this information and consolidate it into a really clear understanding of what's happening and what the plan is and what they need to do next. If we can do that, boy, we're really transforming healthcare. So I hope that that's where it goes. And I do see a lot of attention in that vein.
Yeah, like a personal companion who could guide you through the whole thing and keep telling you what's next. And that would be really amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, and healthcare is not easy. We have to recognize that. I can tell you directly from being at the site of care as a bedside nurse that it's not easy. And so anything we can do to make the process easier for the people involved in it, both the caregivers and the patients, that's just going to be a game changer for everyone, because there is an effort involved in making sure that we're doing all the right things and that it's meaningful and effective for the patient. And if we can make all the systems work together to help us do that, I think that's what's really going to make it a lifestyle change for everyone involved.
Great. So while we were looking at ChristianaCare, we read about your work with FDB and their medication solution to bring personalized multilingual medication calendars inside the EHR. So for some of our listeners or health systems who haven't explored that kind of tool yet, what does it actually look like in practice? And, you know, tell us a little bit about more about that. We would love to hear.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. When I started this journey, which was over 12 years ago, really focusing on this patient education piece and trying to bring health literacy concepts and practices to bear in our care, I wanted to find a strategic partner because I knew that this process was going to take some time to evolve. Technology is constantly changing. And I wanted to find someone who was going to really be a thought partner and a strategic partner for the long haul. And that's what I found with FDB and Medication. From the very get-go, from the very first time I saw their solution, I thought they had health literacy at the forefront. And that really came from the innovation of that tool. The whole thing was created to try and meet that need of people understanding their healthcare, specifically around medications. So the process, if I was, you know, like you said, speaking to folks who haven't really considered this yet, I would just say, add that health literacy lens to any decision-making process you're doing. Really think about plain language and ease of use and things like that in terms of how that tool is going to be used. And that will help you make decisions about what is best for your organization. I saw upfront a real prioritization to make what the patient needs the first priority. And then what we have really done, my team being nurses, we don't want to make life harder for all the nurses out there and all the providers going through their daily activities. So we focus heavily on making it integrated into their natural workflow. So as much as we can, bringing the tool into a step-by-step process that doesn't take them completely outside of their natural workflow. We know that is not going to be super popular, so we try to keep it in their workflow. And FDB has been great working back and forth and trying to make sure that the tool is as easy to use for those end users. And that helps make the end product for the patient something that doesn't feel cumbersome, makes it feel like something that it's worth it to go through and do that for the patient to meet their need. So I think that's the main thing for us, is really trying not to waver on that commitment to the documentation and the use piece, of making sure the process of using the tool is still easy enough for our caregivers. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. So we're seeing, again, across our conversations that healthcare leaders are increasingly being asked to do more and more with fewer resources. So like Rohit was saying, you know, like you talked a little bit about that, about measuring the return on investment of digital transformation initiatives, but not just in financial terms, but in terms of clinician satisfaction or patient outcomes or resilience. Like, what are some of those metrics that you use to measure the impact of health literacy, or maybe a program like this? How do you like justify the cost or say that, yes, this was an effective program?
Yeah, that's a good point. We all need to be making sure we're adding value, and we strive to do that every day. What really gets me, while we're still developing those data tools on the back end to try to connect those outcomes, like I said, what really connects for me is the personal stories. I think nothing makes a healthcare provider, be it a nurse or a physician, physician assistant, whoever's providing that care, nothing makes them feel like it was worth it and more worthwhile when they get that connection, when they really feel like the care that they're providing is understood and that the person is going to be able to meet their goals. When we do training sessions, like I said, my team doesn't just manage the technology, we also manage the best practices. So when we work with providers, be it nurses or physicians, on how to use the tools and you see them, you know, you see the light bulbs go on of how to communicate clearly and with plain language and what that really means to the patients and families. I think to me, that's the most meaningful metric is when you hear back directly, like, it's really important to me to communicate clearly. So I do use TeachBack in my practice because when I hear it back from the patient, now I'm validated. I know for sure that they understand what's happening. And, you know, again, everyone's in this trying to build trust and have that relationship be the driver of care. And that's the best way to do it. So it's kind of both ends for me. We're trying to build a system view on the back end, making those ROI, you know, sort of data connections to quality and safety. But I don't know that everyone comes to work every day necessarily with those data metrics in mind. They're trying to provide excellent care. They're trying to connect with people and make sure that the care is valued and that the people are going to be able to meet their goals. So I think that's really where the sweet spot is connecting those tools with the practices that hit home so that when you leave at the end of the day, you know that you really connected with people and made a difference in their journey.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Thank you for that answer.
Greg, anything that you would like to say in closing for the listeners?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity with you guys to continue to share this message. Yeah. I just hope folks continue to prioritize communication and using health literacy best practices. One thing that we really want to avoid in healthcare is waste. We don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste resources, right? As you said, healthcare is experiencing the opportunity to make things easier and cheaper. The cost of care is definitely on everyone's mind. So one of the things we can do is be more effective and more efficient. And if we're not communicating well, we might be spinning our wheels and we think we're doing a great job. We're really well-intentioned. Believe me, all of the caregivers are very well-intentioned, trying to do the best they can. But if we're not confirming that that is working, if we're not making sure that folks understand what's going on before they leave our care, then we might be missing the mission. So I just encourage everyone to have that health literacy lens on, whether you're a systems thinker at the leadership level or whether you're a caregiver at the, you know, direct level every day with patients. If you have the health literacy lens in place, you're less likely to miss that opportunity to communicate with folks.
Thank you, Greg. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you.
It's been super fun. Thank you so much, Kat.